All right, everyone, you're listening to Parent Tell. My name is Kayla. It's just like show and tell, except for parents. So there's probably booze involved, if that's your thing. We are just telling you what it's like. Spoiler alert, it's hard. It's very hard, but it is also really, really cool. I just saw, I think it was a Scary Mommy article, and they said that before they became a parent, they felt like no one had given them an honest explanation of what it was really like. And then the person wrote the article, became a parent. She said, "Now I basically describe it as it's the hardest but most rewarding job that you can never leave. There is no vacation time. There is no holiday pay." Like, so that's part of what makes it hard, is that like, there's no break. I'm so excited to be talking to Evan Nimke. He is a stay-at-home dad. That's right. He's a dude, and he is the primary caregiver of his kids.
Yes. Yes. Break the internet.
Thank you so much for coming on here and talking with me. And, you know, we just said this before we started recording. I was trying to think, why was I so excited for this episode? And I realized it's because the elusive stay-at-home dad is still such a rare thing in our society. And so, you know, like, it was great that I pinpointed why I was so excited about it, but then I got sad because, like, I wish, you know, like, I wish that it wasn't a big deal. I wish I wasn't super excited to talk to this, like, diamond in the rough. They're like, oh, they do exist, but yeah, here we are.
Well, we are going to do our little tiny, teeny part in this universe to move that needle just a little bit towards that direction where it's more normal, more encouraged, and more supported. So that's always why I'm hopping on here. And I thank you for the opportunity to come on and just share my story and everything I've learned and haven't learned and survived through my journey as a stay-at-home dad.
I'm glad you use that word survive, because some days that's pretty much just all it is. And we can totally start there if you want. And because I feel like the first thing I thought of when you and I were making the plans to record, I was like, okay, like, what do I want to talk about? And one of the first things was, is there a difference if you're a stay-at-home mom versus stay-at-home dad in terms of burnout, in terms of compassion fatigue, which I just learned this phrase today from my therapist. Shout out, Teresa. Thank you, because I didn't realize that that was a thing. And, you know, feeling touched out. So does that happen to you? Like, what is that like for you? How do you feel every day, or, you know, just being needed and having to give so much of yourself every day?
Yeah, compassion fatigue is a new one. I've not heard that. I can certainly see that being applicable to a stay-at-home parent who gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives. I wouldn't say I've ever found myself suffering from that. And I was on another podcast where the woman asked if I get touched out, and I also never heard that before. But I could say I'm very sensitive to noise. And the loudness of the day between the kids and, you know, if they're babies, the crying, the whining, the fighting, the shows, the YouTube, the games, it's like my ears at the end of the day sometimes just need a break. And I don't know, like, we wrestle and we're very physical. I've never had an issue with being touched or, you know, affectionate in that sense. But yeah, the noise level of being a stay-at-home dad has certainly worn on me. And 100% between meeting, you know, probably hundreds of stay-at-home moms now, and I'd like to think around hundreds of stay-at-home dads as well, or just dads, like, there's a lot of similarities. And I probably relate more to stay-at-home moms just because I've got a glimpse into that lifestyle and that world, and can relate to a lot of the plight that they openly express and share. And sometimes I think it catches women off guard when I share my own tale and just, or I'm listening to them talk about motherhood, and I'm just like, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, they're you love them, but you hate them. And some days you want to pull your hair out. And I've certainly lost all of mine and got some grays to for it. But there's certainly similarities. I think just the biggest difference between dads doing it is it's just less common. And still some people think in a very old fashioned way about it, or don't get the support maybe they need from their family, because when they were growing up, it was even more rare. So I've been a stay-at-home dad for, you know, since my oldest was 3 months old and he just started first grade, and my youngest just started kindergarten. So you're actually catching me at a very, this is the end.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to say that, but, my kids are both in school full time as of a week and a half ago, and here.
So you're like fresh, okay? Yeah. So this is okay.
Yeah. So tread lightly. I'm not afraid to cry. So if it comes out, it comes out, and I've been in a really good spot with it, which I'm proud of. And that didn't come easy. That was not the case a year into it, 2 years into it, in terms of my mental health. It took therapy. It took open, honest self-reflection to get to where I am right now, where I can say I'm at a good place. And the end of this chapter was a time that I really lost sleep over for probably the first year, 2 years, 2.5 years, maybe even 3 years. Like, it just was a constant knowing there's a finality to it, which was good, because I didn't want to do it for the rest of my life. But I also knew that was going to be a brand new chapter of my life. And that being a blank page and not having a concrete answer on what my life will look like after that scared the shit out of me and kept me up at night and gave me nightmares and gave me anxiety and a little depression probably mixed in there too. So I'm in a good place because I'm here. And at the moment I feel good. Like, I feel proud. I'm looking back on the time and the sacrifice and the commitment and view it as an accomplishment that I'm tremendously proud of. And just learning to focus on the present of the day and where I'm now and enjoy the house while it's a little quiet and they're both at school, and not push myself directly into what do I got to do next.
And that's smart.
Yeah. So it's a good window to catch me. I don't know from now, 2 months from now, what my life will look like, but
oh my gosh. Okay.
Living in the moment, living in the present. So,
Well, this is perfect. I'm now even happier that we're having this discussion. Definitely want to come back to, like, now that it's coming to the end. But I will say the biggest thing that you just said that's surprising is that you don't feel touched out. I say that's very surprising to me, which honestly, like, good for you, because it fucking sucks. But also the noise sensitivity is, I wholeheartedly relate to that. I feel like I didn't realize how noise sensitive I was until I became a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, all right, whatever. But it's like, I had excellent classroom management. I was like, okay, we got this, no big deal. And then I didn't realize that I was even more sensitive about it now as a parent. And like, yeah, the noises are, it's a lot. And it is anxiety inducing for me, because you just can't get a quiet second inside your own brain. So very interesting that you don't feel touched out, but also not surprising that you need some silence at the end of the day. Cause I think I have not, or I didn't like love silence. I didn't realize how amazing silence was until after I became a parent. And then you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah. And it's weird, because it's like, I still enjoy, like, I'll talk to my wife, you know, she'll come home and like the kids will be asleep and, you know, you think I wanted a quiet house, but it's like, she wants me to be quiet, because like, her brain's been going a million miles an hour at work, but I just want to have a conversation with an adult. And she's like pausing her reality shows, like, okay, do we need to talk about this? And I'm like, sorry. But yeah, it's, I mean, I think there's times where just parenting in general, like, I just don't want to be the parent right now. Like, I just, I had him all day. I brought him in the morning. I just want like hands off, like, dad needs a break. Like, you know, it's not necessarily touched out, but it's like just parented out, and I need a little time to regroup and come back to myself. So,
I literally told my husband towards the end of dinner today, and it like wasn't a particularly hard, fine day. Everything was fine. And my son is like, he was really favoring, you know, how kids kind of just favor one parent, especially. So he's 15 months at this young age. Okay. He was favoring my husband for a while, and now it shifted back to me. And let me tell, first of all, I was enjoying that break. I was like, oh, like, oh, so sad. Here you go. Like, oh, but yeah, now he's like obsessed with me again. And it really hits like after dinner time, he just like, no, I only want mom. And I was trying to do something and Jimmy was helping me out by trying to distract Robin and he wasn't having it. And I literally looked at my husband. I said, I think what I want for Christmas is 48 hours by myself. I said, I think I need you guys to like literally forget that you know my name, like just forget that I even exist for 48 hours, please. Like, I just want to like, nope, I'm not here. You can't see me because you're just, I just don't want to be, yeah, you just don't want to be a parent.
And
a little while.
So normal. Like, don't have any, and same for your husband, like. Everybody needs a break, and that does not mean you don't love your kids. It doesn't mean you don't love your husband, your wife. Like, you just need a break sometimes because it gets very monotonous and the same thing over and over and over again. And when you can just, you forget about the things you like to do or what it's like not to have to grab a snack or make a bottle. And it's like, if you can just have a little break, you'll come back so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have a partner that supports that, that's a great thing because they always say it takes a village, and I believe it takes a team.
Yeah.
Of whether that's family or your spouse or neighbors, like just a small little group. And hats off to single parents because I have no idea how they do it, and they are living saints. And shout out to all of them.
Yes, like this is just very hard, and I fully believe, you know, like, we're not meant to parent by ourselves. No one is meant to parent by themselves. You need someone, minimum one other person, to make it doable, like long term, to make it sustainable for you and then for the kid too, for sure. But I would love to go back to, so like in your brain, so you said your son's starting first grade, so he's six. As a kindergarten teacher, I know exactly, like, I know that very well. So go back to like 6 years. What was it like when you and your wife decided that you were going to stay home?
Yeah, I'll try and give you the Cliff Notes version of it. It wasn't planned. It was not anything that I was aiming for. I wasn't rooting for it. I didn't think I was going to ever do it before kids or during the pregnancy. Changing diapers and playing with kids, like, that was never foreign to me. So like, fatherhood was exciting and I couldn't wait to be a dad, but I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be a stay-at-home dad, let alone a full-time stay-at-home dad for going on 6 years. But I was working sales and my wife was working for a school district at the time, and our plan was just to have two working parents, and we didn't necessarily feel that a daycare was right off the beginning. So we both wanted to keep working. Well, at least I thought we should both keep working. And the medium was, she didn't want to do a daycare. I was actually okay with it. I mean, I think I would have been fine with it, but she was like a hard no, like, I'm not comfortable with it. But our medium was to find a nanny, which was a lot more expensive, but it just, we agreed that was the middle ground, and we went on a nanny search through online, and it was a nightmare. We interviewed probably 10 different people.
Oh, shit. No way.
All of them we brought in our house, and like the second they left, because on paper and they looked great, but then they're in your house, they're sitting on your furniture, and you're looking at them, like, especially with your first child, it's kind of like,
oh yeah,
holy shit, like, this person is going to be like soothing my child and
all day.
And none of them passed the eye test. I mean, on paper, yeah, great, you have a, but it was just kind of freaky going through that. And then I think my wife was like 2 weeks out going back to work, maybe 1 week out, and a personal referral came our way for a nanny, sang her praises. We met with her, felt so much better just knowing that it was from a family friend. And we hired her, and It was great. It was an adjustment. It lasted about 2 months, maybe 2.5 months. And then the family that she left wanted her back.
Oh, shoot.
And this woman had been with the family for many, many years. And I think this woman raised that child maybe a little more than the parents did. And
oh, wow.
And they threw a lot of money at her. And she gave us 7 days to figure out somebody else. So we had to scramble, to say the least. But we just talked. And I was really burnt out with what I was doing. My wife has been a badass working woman, just her career and what she does. I couldn't be more proud. And she was like skyrocketing in that and had long-term kind of a path that she could go and some consulting stuff that was starting to take off, where I was just this like, I'd been in the beverage industry for 10 years. I poured my heart and soul into it. I was a career driven man, but I was also like losing sight of like purpose. And I was really at the time looking for something more purposeful. It took a lot of convincing, but my wife really pushed and pushed and pushed. And I was terrified to leave my job that I had just started at a really great company via a mentor of mine who brought me on and stuck his neck out for me. And I was like, I'm going to be blacklisted. Like, I'm just going to be like blacklisted if I leave my career. And I was terrified to tell my boss at the time when we made that decision. And he gave me the most supportive response, and the company and the founder they just could not be more supportive. And
oh my God.
It like blew me away. It just, my expectation was complete. I was way off. I thought I was going to be laughed at and gawked and mocked, but like they truly, you know, they thanked me. They said, hey, best of luck. You know, this is truly a commendable thing you're doing, and we want to just wish you the best. And that meant a lot. It kind of set me off on the right foot, but it was also terrifying. I mean, I was very wrapped up in my career and trying to provide for my family and earn, and, you know, kid on the way, to let go of a stable, well-paying job. But I was also traveling a lot at the time. I'd worked up to a role where I was on the road traveling 2 weeks out of every month. And I'd also lost interest in doing that. And I'm like, as soon as we had my son, I was like, I don't want to be gone more than I have to be. So it was like a big shift. And it took me probably a year even into doing it to really find my place, like just to get used to it. Like I had to like mentally completely rewire the way I looked at the world, the way I looked at money, the way I looked at, just a lot of things that I held so high. I had to put blinders on and just look at my son and my family and block out everything else and just commit and know that it wasn't a life sentence. It was a temporary thing. It wasn't going to be my life forever. I didn't know it would be 6 years. I remember meeting a stay-at-home dad my first year, and he told me 7 years. I almost threw up because I just, I was like, are you 7 years? Like, I couldn't even grasp somebody doing it or committing. Like when I started, I was like, oh yeah, I'll do maybe two years, three years.
Yeah.
And then we had two, and like, it's just funny that I'm like almost at 7 years. And I vividly remember him saying he's done it for 7 years. And
oh my God.
In awe of like how long that was. But
I initially said 1 year, and I remember on my son's birthday this past May, I was doing something and I was like, oh shit, it's been a year.
Right.
I was like, oh, so it was like, it was almost scary. Cause it's like, well, that went by much faster than I thought. And I like, okay, so am I just, we're just going to keep going into year two. I'm just going to do it. I mean, obviously I'm doing it, but yeah, it was, I felt similar to you. I never envisioned being a stay-at-home parent for myself. I have always liked to work, but I was feeling really burnt out with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we all know that literally every single teacher that you've ever met in your entire life.
Wait, I thought being a teacher was a sleepwalk. I thought you throw out some friends.
I'm just a babysitter. I'm just a babysitter. It's fine.
Put some music on.
Yeah, they color. It's fine. And so it did kind of like, okay, maybe this is just like this is a sign that I should just do this because I'm already just kind of feeling done right now. Like I need a break. Yep. So I'll take a break and then I'll come back. Haven't come back yet. Don't know. Have no idea. Like you saying 6-7 years, I'm like, I don't even, I can't even like envision, I feel like I can't even envision 3 years. So I can't even talk about 6 years. Like I have no freaking clue, but that's interesting that you said you met a stay-at-home dad your first year. Do you feel like, you know, as the years have gone by, you've met more?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, in person and digitally through some passion projects I've started, I'll say, so I mentioned like the first year it took me a while. And by taking a while, it means like, I didn't tell people that's what I was doing. Like mm-mm. I was almost not ashamed, but I thought when as a man, if I told people I was doing that, they would just assume I was forced into it. And I was forced into it because either I got fired or because I couldn't hold a job or, you know, I just like, my pride was like, it was everywhere.
Or like your wife wears the pants, like super like,
just so, I just kept it so close to me. And I mean, everything was a blur. My son was, you know, a year and all changed probably 2 years into it, a year and a half into it. I just owned it and like really started taking pride in the responsibility and it became the hardest thing I've ever done. I started realizing like what I'm doing is a tremendous challenge. I shouldn't be ashamed of it. And I always say, what's my little catchphrase? I'm going to lose my catchphrase. The pay sucks, but the benefits are priceless. You know, we started getting a hold of our finances and figuring out how to live on a single income, which I used to like nice shit. I like nice cars. I like buying technology, fancy microphones. And like, I learned so quickly, so much of things I was spending money on or just casually spending my pay. Like it's so unnecessary. And like when I had kids and when we started whittling our budget down and all that, it's just like, one, I stopped caring about it. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to have cool shoes and all that, but like I've worn Costco like $30 Adidas.
Oh my God, I'm literally wearing Costco leggings right now. Oh my God. Yes, no, Kirkland, I mean, for life.
Deal. Yeah, but like old me would like want to get the newest release or like name brand. And it's like, I just don't care anymore. I was like, I'd rather my kids have it.
Yep.
And I know that I'm doing this for my family and I can wear, I don't need the nicest of nice anything. Like my standards and what I need in life are so low. And I don't know. I mean, I went from a place where I was not leading with pride to owning it because I realized just what a gift I had, even just the opportunity to do it was something so many people don't even get a chance to think about and to not be aware of that was a little selfish too, because so many people, you got to work 4 or 5 jobs just to put your kid in daycare, to put a roof over your head. So being conscious of that, realizing it's, I don't want to say luxury, but it's a tremendous opportunity to be grateful for. And the more dads I met both in person or just via DMs, you know, after I launched Viral Dads, just understanding that like, I was not alone in this journey. There's not that many of us or seemingly any of us when I would go to playgrounds or play dates or, you know, little gatherings, but like, I don't know. It just like motivated me. And then I got to a point towards the end where it's like, if I don't share my story, even though my story is not great, but it's one ripple, it's one drop that might inspire somebody else to consider it, might make them feel like they're not alone. Because I know I've heard, you know, I heard one dad do an interview and I was like, oh my gosh, like this guy, everything he's saying is like my life. Like he loves his kids, but he can't stand his kids. And he loves
that's how I feel about you right now.
I mean, it was a real tough dad on Instagram. I don't know if you follow him, but he's a stay-at-home dad. He's a memer. And I heard an interview of his, you know, when I was probably 2 or 3 years in, and I was like, this changed. Like I was listening to it and just going, yes, like that's me. This guy is me. Like he's talking about marriage stuff. He's talking about his kids driving. Not just like he was saying all bad things, but it was like when you hear a man open up about the hardships, especially as a stay-at-home dad, when you've never heard anybody else talk about it, it was like, it was right to my heart. And I was just like, man, like, I think I need to be proud and outspoken and just not be private about it. And my, you know, my little Instagram page used to be private, but then I was like, I watched a documentary on another on dads on Apple TV. And there was a quote from Bella, I forget his handle, but he said, you know, being private doesn't help anybody. And when it comes to making being a dad more normal and making an active, you know, father less of a stigma, I guess, priority, like, it's like, if you are a passionate, involved father, like, you have to talk about it and let it be shown and take pride in it. And especially a stay-at-home dad, like, if you just hide it, then it's just always going to be tucked away.
And no one else is going
to feel it. They need to hear it.
No one else is going to feel comfortable to take it on. So, what's the documentary called? Do you remember?
I think it's called Dads.
Easy.
It's on, I think, Apple TV, and I think it was Ron Howard's daughter. She produced it. It's really well done. They talked to a lot of celebrities. They also talk with just, you know, some social media personalities and dad influencers. It's really well done, inspiring. So,
yeah, I mean, I love stuff like that, especially because, I mean, like, I 100% acknowledge that, you know, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom and it's really hard, but I am in the majority, you know, like, I go to a park and it is all moms and, like, maybe one dad. And that's like, if it's the weekend, you know, like, so I totally acknowledge that, like, you feel even more isolated. So I can definitely see how it would, you would, yeah, it's like, you're not embarrassed, but it's just like it was a hard thing to feel confident in. I didn't feel comfortable saying I'm a stay-at-home mom out loud for a really long time. And I think, cause you were saying how, like, you know, a lot of parents don't even, it is a privilege. Like, a lot of parents don't get to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the times that I'm the most aware of that is when, like, Robin will do something that I see him do every day, or, you know, even if it's like a new thing and I don't really react. And my husband's like, oh my God. Like, and he'll look at me like waiting for me to like have this big reaction. And I'm just nodding like, yeah. And he'll say, like, he literally said 2 days ago, he was like, am I missing things? Like, does he do this all the time? And you obviously don't want to be like, yeah. But at the same time, like, it's moments like that where I'm like, wow, I actually am really fortunate that I am with him all
the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not missing his, you know, like, his everyday, the things that I take for granted now that my husband sees and are like the coolest things ever. So it's a weird position. It's a weird position to be in because, like, we're still allowed to hate it. We're still allowed to get tired of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it is pretty cool. I remember as a kid, like, wishing that my mom was a stay-at-home mom so that she could come on all the field trips. Because those were the parents who came on the field trips. It was the stay-at-home moms. And it was rare that one of my parents who both worked could take off work to come on a field trip. And I feel like that's how I saw it as a kid. Like, well, man, like, I wish my mom was like so-and-so's mom because they always come on the field trip. They can always be available to me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, it just reminds me, like, of some of the mental health stuff I've done and with my therapist, but, like, I had a vision that, like, haunted me, and it was like my kids being like 10 years old, 12 years old, like, talking with their buddies and, like, asking, what does your dad do? And, like, for some reason that, like, whatever they said, like, I don't know, like, freaked me out. Like, cause I didn't have an answer. And I was like, what am I going to be doing when they're 12, 13, 14. And, you know, we live in a pretty affluent area where there's a lot of money and, like, big houses. And it just was like, I just think about, like, high school and, like, how all that unfolds. And, but like you said, like all you wanted as a kid was your mom or dad to come on a field trip. And like my therapist was like, you know, we talked about just like some of the most successful men you can think of or prized and the accolades and high paychecks. Like if you ask their kid, like what, either what their dad does or what do they wish their parent did more of, they wouldn't like say, I love that my dad is this like, you know,
like he works on Wall Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like he would say, I wish he'd come to my game. Like he misses a lot of my, you know, baseball games. And it's like thinking about it in that lens really helped me like, wow. As adults, we want like accolades and accomplishments and big titles, but like those come with things that our kids probably don't even take pride in. Like
all they just want your presence.
They want your time.
Yeah.
Like they don't need another toy. They want another 10 minutes. Like that is just, I don't know. I have to keep things like that in mind. And obviously I'd love to be wildly successful and you know, swimming in money, but I don't think I would want that anymore if it meant missing, you know, my son's baseball games or like just little tiny moments that I've got to witness for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
All of them. I mean, it's like I've seen everything. There's been so little I've missed and I cherish it. I really do.
Yeah. So. That's another thing I think about all the time too, is like, I know that I will be there. There's like a, I know that I can, that I will be providing him that presence and that like safety and security that comes with it, that as a kid meant so much to me. Yeah. So it is, you know, it's almost like, you know, we all try to, we try to give our kids what we didn't have as kids. And that's part of it. Like, it's not just material things. It is like the presence. And I'm not saying, yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, like my parents were never there. Like we were like semi-latchkey, but only because both of our parents worked, you know, like they did the best they could, you know, coming to games and all that stuff. But
you want to give your kids like everything you loved about what your parents gave you. And then you think of, wow, what was lacking. And you also want to make sure you're not, you're doing as little of that as possible.
Yeah.
Same boat for sure.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about what it's been like for you being a stay-at-home dad surrounded by stay-at-home moms. I'm sure by now you're probably used to it, or like you don't really maybe think about it. But at first, I'm sure it was it more awkward or weird for you or for the stay-at-home moms, because they were probably just like, wait, what? Like they just weren't used to it.
I mean, it's like, there's like two halves to my stay-at-home journey. And like the first half was like learning and acceptance and like just getting my footing. And then the second half is just pride, owning it, loving it, blinders on to what anybody else thinks, cares, or judges me for, like trusting that I know what I'm doing. You know, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm winging it just like everybody, but it's like my intuition and my trust and just my love for my kids is enough. And like the approach I'm taking and the decisions we make for our family, we're confident in. And if every nanny or mom at the playground questions what I'm giving my son as a snack or how I'm handling them climbing to the top of the playground or what I do when they get a boo-boo, like I've let all that go. Like, and that's helped me tremendously as somebody who used to, for a majority of my life, cared what people thought about me. And that's almost a sentence in itself and something I've grown tremendously in through this, just letting all of that go. And the freedom that's come with that has been just so enjoyable. Obviously, there's insecurities, there's fears, there's everything, and then some, you know, that I deal with. But like, I have made tremendous steps and this has helped me just like block out, you know, don't worry about what these moms or dads, you know, think about your parenting approach or what you're doing right now. Like focus on your kid. Like,
yeah,
that's honestly the approach I took because it was weird. You know, I live in the suburbs. It's changed. I mean, I've seen definitely a change since when I started 6 years ago. Compared to now, I mean, you see a lot more dads out there and I love it. and makes me happy. But yeah, still very much the minority. But parenting, I mean, moms feel the same way too. I mean, yeah. Moms get judged just, it's just a parenting thing and everybody's trying to figure it out and everybody's looking what stroller this person has, or do they use a binky? Do they not use a binky? Oh, they're doing formula now. Oh, they're doing breastfeeding. You know, it's like nobody, everyone's figuring it out. Am I doing this right? Am I doing it wrong? But putting the blinders on has helped me a lot. So,
well, I can tell. And as someone who's in therapy, big fan of therapy, everyone should be in therapy. I can tell you have an amazing therapist. And like, I'm being serious when I say that, you know, like you've put in the work. Because you can have a great therapist, but if you're not willing to actually take in what they say and tell you, then you're not going to change. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's my therapist, but my true therapist is my mother. And like, shout out to my mom. Cause like I've confided in her just, I mean, tenfold what I've done with my therapist, but my wife was the one who encouraged me to look into it. I've seen her take tremendous strides on her journey when she started going before me. And I was a believer seeing her growth, and she really encouraged me to give it a try. And, you know, we had a heart to heart where like we unraveled some things deep in me that I'd been storing that I was just like, wow, like that's heavier than I was giving it, than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And this was like, maybe this is a good time to go just talk. And it's been awesome. And I encourage everybody, even if they don't think they've got problems. It's so impactful. And I think everybody can benefit from it. Just talking to somebody who is unbiased, who isn't your spouse, who isn't your parent, who isn't your best friend, because a lot of the people you confide to are biased because they love you. And it's hard. And it was very refreshing to have open, honest conversations about things in my life with somebody who had no side, had no affiliation with me. And it just, they look at it from a very unique perspective. And oftentimes things that you wouldn't even look at it or see or take into consideration. So,
I mean, you're like,
mental health is real. Mental health is real.
It really is. And it applies, it applies to men too. Like, you heard it here first, if you've never heard it before. I mean, I think you're like my favorite person I've met all year, because not only are you a stay-at-home dad, but you're in therapy and you're talking about it. Cause I mean, talk about like stigmas on stigmas right there. Like, and I, you know, this isn't a podcast about therapy, but I've talked about it many times. And I think that's, yes. And especially for men, you know, like, unfortunately we live in such a patriarchal, like borderline toxic masculinity society. And like, I think a lot of people think like, oh, that only affects women. No, like that affects everyone. Yeah.
It's been very eye-opening. Cause you know, I started the Viral Dad's social media page on Instagram, and that was just something I did on the fly. I was kind of upset seeing dads getting dragged through the mud on some of these parenting pages and like the butt of every joke. And I was this dad pouring all my time and energy. And I was like, yeah, we're an easy target, but like some of us like being dads and love our kids and like are trying really hard. So I created it just as like a counterpoint. I was like, let's shine a little bit more positive light on dads and like some of the humorous, heartwarming moments. And it took off. I mean, I remember saying, I was like, okay, if this reaches 10,000 followers, I'll tell my wife. And it reached 10,000 followers like in a month or two months.
Oh my God. Crazy like that. Wow.
And more, like, I didn't know it would be anything, but it just, the response to it immediately was very eye-opening. And it's taken off ever since then. But the one thing I've learned via meeting and talking with the parenting community, and more so the dads, men suffer from such a small amount of similar problems, primarily dads. Like, I mean, everybody has an array of problems, but like, it's like four or five core things
that
we all, as men, as providers, as egotistical, you know, as creatures, suffer from. And like, nobody talks about it. Like, nobody talks about it. And it's
You're raised to not talk about it because that makes you weak, and men aren't weak. And like, again, going back to like, it's embedded within us, like no matter what no matter how you identify, like it's in there just because you've just been immersed in it since day one. And it takes a lot of work to see that first and then kind of be like, nope, fuck that. Like, I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do because that's not working for me.
Yeah. And I've become a believer in, I call it sharing your struggle, because I found freedom and clarity and support when I open up to people and talk about, you know, primarily dads. Like when I meet a stay-at-home dad and I start to really unfold like what it's like to be in this role. And it's like, it's so powerful to just meet someone else who says like, it's hard, or to say, yeah, like, what do you do when this happens? Or have you ever felt like just throwing in the towel, like, but you feel like then you're a failure? Like, how do you deal with that?
And yeah,
I don't, it's just mothers. They, if you meet a new mom, you lead with, oh, my kids are fucking driving me crazy. Like, I can't stand this shit. Like, my life's a mess. My house is out of control. Like, you lead with everything you are suffering from, or like, my house is pissing me off. And like, oh, me too. And then you're BFFs, like, off the bat. And then when you meet a dad or another male or a friend of, never, I mean, you might lighthearted, but like, men don't just say, oh, I'm really, I'm worried I'm going to get fired. Like, my numbers aren't, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, like finances are really tough. Like we don't, you never lead with that. Like you play it cool. Like I got my shit together.
Which is like, so toxic. Like it's so stupid that we do that, you know, like it's so dumb that we do that because it's not, like it's not real. Like that's fake. That's not real.
It's just, it's interesting. I mean, as I get older, my kids get older, as we cycle through kind of seasonal friends and situational friends, it's just you realize as you grow as an adult, like people come in and out of your life. And like, it's interesting to see how my wife is very enclosed. Like she actually keeps a lot in, and I have become an open book. Like it's, I pride myself in just my open honesty and just thinking people can heal through hearing a man admit that he's struggling or it's
therapy. It helps. I think it's, and you know, of course we are speaking as like straight people in a heterosexual couple, like, so obviously everyone's experience is different, but I feel like at the same time, I didn't expect us to have so many similarities. Cause I, again, like even me just kind of assuming like, oh, well he's a guy, so it's going to be different. And I mean, at the core, like we're all just people. And of course, you know, like everybody has different, feelings and opinions and everything, you know, things affect people in different ways, but the experience of being 24/7 VIP access to your children is definitely the biggest common denominator I think that you can have with anyone.
Yeah.
Where you just look at them and you're just like, fuck, right? And they're like, yeah, fuck. And you're just like, great. Okay. Have a good day.
Yeah. But I mean, dad, you know, male, female, like, I think we can all agree that like the worst is when you just act like you've got it all figured out. And like, I don't know, like,
cause it's not real.
It's like, you gotta be, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, it's social media. It's all this, like, but
yeah,
I mean, social media is a highlight reel, but like, I like when I meet people and like they can, we can openly share like the chaos, the beautiful chaos of parenthood, the good and the bad, the struggles it puts on a marriage. How are you coping with it? Like just really like deep dive into just the hardships of it, because it's amazing. And the pictures, you have the pictures to show for it, but it's like, look behind the pictures, talk to the husband and wife, talk to the single mother, talk to, like, there's, it ain't easy. Like,
there's a lot. Yeah. You can get a little, I've been a victim of this. You can get a little glimpse sometime if it's a live photo. And if you just hold it and you'll hear in the background, hey, stop, no. Or like, ah, and the kid, you hear the dog, but like, you can get a little glimpse if you listen to the live.
0.1 second, please, I need this.
Yeah, you're like, no, just come on. You want a cookie? And I think what you were saying before is, you know, like when you've talked to other stay-at-home dads and you know, or people who have messaged you, you know, just regular stay-at-home dads, and you get to have like that camaraderie of like, they understand exactly what you're going through. And it's so important to find people like that, because when they say, oh my God, this is so hard, like it gives you permission to like, yes, oh my, like, yes, okay, yes, this is really hard. Like,
Permission to feel. That's the book. My wife.
Oh. Yeah,
but it's permission to feel, and it rings true.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, in terms of being a stay-at-home dad too, that was one of the biggest things that helped me early on, was finding a local dad's group to join, and a way to meet other dads who are actively involved with their kids, not just stay-at-home dads, but City Dads group was the one that I linked up with. It was just a meetup group. You know, you may not go into it. Don't go into it expecting to meet your best friend or anything like that. Like, it's not, but it's just camaraderie. When you go to a playground and instead of there being one dad or zero dads there, you're meeting five other dudes with strollers and bottles and diaper bags that you may have never met before. But it's just that alone makes you feel like you're not alone. And you know, I've met some great people through that. I've casually met even more, but it's just knowing that I'm not the only one pushing a double wide stroller through the streets of Chicago, or, you know, struggling to pour formula into the bottle at the time. Like, it's just, it's very, very powerful. And when people say, what's like my number one advice for a stay-at-home dad who's like starting out, I say, find a local dad group, or get weird and awkward, step outside your comfort zone and approach another dad at a museum, at a children's museum, at a playground. And just, you never know, that dad might be just feeling as alone and lost as you are. And when you can laugh about forgetting baby wipes together, like, that's some powerful stuff.
Yeah. It makes it, you know, like, no one, again, like, it's the human condition. Like, we all want to be understood and we don't want to be alone. So if you can find anyone that makes you feel understood,
and even one, I have one core, you know, my buddy Mark, like, we met at a library. He had two twin boys. He had the diaper bag. And but I've kept in touch with them, and our kids have gotten older. We don't see each other, but like, we met on many play dates together, and now we just send animated GIFs back and forth about the wild and crazy times of fatherhood. And it's so therapeutic. Like, and I love it. I mean, and he literally, leaving the library in Barrington, Illinois, said, hey, you want to get weird and exchange phone numbers? And that was it. I mean, that was the start of a beautiful friendship. And I've used that line before, because it is weird. You're in your, you know, 30s, late
20s. Oh my God, yes. So awkward.
Pretty easy exchanging numbers. And he just owned it and said, let's get weird, and God bless him, because that was a game changer for me.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes. It is definitely, it's so hard. Like, for me personally, like, if someone were to say that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, yes. Like, yeah, let's do it. But for me to be like the initiator, I'm just like,
super awkward.
I'm going to leave now. But I want to be, but I love you. I want to be your friend.
You will never know unless you cast the reel. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, I met my husband on Tinder, so, you know, I get it.
Whatever works.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up with the last two questions. How has being a parent changed you as a person? And I feel like that's pretty much all we've talked about. But if there was, you know, anything else, there's something that really stands out, how you're different now. You've just changed as a person.
I mean, the whole experience, even not staying at home, I think just being a dad in general, having a child that you're responsible for, will change you way more than you can even imagine. But it's all good. I mean, and bad. Like, I mean, it's not a walk in the park. It's challenging. It's hard. And there's stuff that sucks about it, but like in the end, like zoom out, it'll make you a much better person. And I'm grateful for that. I love it. I feel more natural than I've ever felt in my own skin and body being a dad. It feels right. It feels good. I don't know what I'm doing half the time, but I love my kids with everything I got. And I think that's most important.
So, oh, yeah. That's it right there.
Yeah, I mean, no way to prepare for it. There's no book to read to think you got a handle on it. There's just diving right in and be you. Give all your heart to your kids and it'll all pan out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. I feel like that's something I say to my friends who have just had a baby or my friends pregnant, and you know, they'll ask me about something very specific and I'll say, well, this is what we did, but you'll figure it out. You got it. Yeah. It won't feel like you got it, but you got it.
Yeah. And lower your expectations like as much as possible. Like in every developmental stage, in every situation, it's just be on your toes. A lot of it's going to be hard, not unfortunately, but like if you go into the mindset that your kid's not going to spill his juice, like, sorry, like you're just going to get pissed when he spills his juice, but like kids spill it. It happens. I get frustrated. I don't like messes, but like you just have to anticipate things breaking, them being little whiny creatures and emotional and hard and whiny and cranky, and do your best to keep your head on straight.
Great advice. If you're out there and you're open to advice, take that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, don't listen to anything I have to say at the same time, because like I'm just a dude, and like what I say is by no means gospel, is no means the only way, is no means applicable to your life. And if I've learned anything, it's that what you read, what you hear, it matters. Like it's good. Like obviously it matters. It's changed my life hearing other people talk about parenting, but like you just, nothing can prepare you for it. And you gotta just, you will figure it out. Trust your intuition. And every situation is so different that I love podcasts and I love reading about parents and I love reading about stay-at-home dads and I love reading about stay-at-home moms. But like every single situation is so different. And just because my situation provided the path where I could do this and it had this, in no way, shape, or form does it mean it applies to you or a listener or this guy over there. It's just so wildly different. And I'm just one little page and one little blip, one little story. And I don't know, just trying to help people feel less alone.
Yeah. you're doing it. It's happening.
Okay. All right. I'm sensitive because like, I never want to come off as preachy or like.
Oh yeah. Something. Especially I feel like as parents, we are very aware of over advising and pushing our own experiences onto people. And
my MO, I want to be a realist. Like I want to tell you the good, but also the bad. So you're not and feel like you're the only one going through it.
Yeah. Essentially you're like the male version of me, because that's literally why I started this podcast. Like, because every experience is different, which is, I find it fascinating, you know, that we all have these, they're just different in teeny tiny ways. They're different in huge ways. And the more we just share, I'm very much a take what you need person. And I've always said, like, that's the whole purpose of this podcast. Take what you need from it. And if you happen to need everything for one episode, great. If nothing applies, cool. It is very much, it's totally up to you. You're in control of it. Don't worry about, you know, like listen to what other people say. And then if you want it, take it. And if you don't, who cares?
Yeah. There's applicable nuggets in everything. You know, it's like, you shouldn't take it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a little notepad on my phone and like I say quotes and I say little hacks and like, it's just probably what you're going through. The other person's going through too. And
Well, very last question. And especially as a stay-at-home dad, this, you know, I feel like just coming from a stay-at-home mom, sometimes, all the times, you just feel like you can't get a second for yourself. And again, we kind of talked about this before starting to record. And I feel like I personally have fallen off with this. I just feel like it's been a busy time, but I always ask people what has been a lawn chair moment for you. And it, you know, physically you're sitting in a lawn chair, or mentally where you've just been able to take a second for yourself. So can you think of one that you would want to share?
A lawn chair moment. I believe it's so crucial. I've started tweeting like more random dad thoughts and just things that come to mind. And it reminds me just of a thought in a tweet that I've had that's been shared more than I ever thought it would, but it's super applicable to this, is that you have to get your mind right. and when you get your mind right and you take your mental health serious, ultimately your whole family will benefit.
Yes.
I'm a walking case study in that. Like, it's just so crucial. And again, not perfect by any means. Still have my struggles and hardships, but like, I can see that when my mind and my body is at a good place, I'm at a better place for my kids. I'm at a better place for my wife, and obviously for myself. And like, yeah, some of the worst days that I've had with my kids at home had nothing to do with my kids.
Yep. Yep. It had everything. Yep. It was you. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I've been there.
That clarity for me, that's helped me tremendously, because when I go into a day with that mindset of just like, how did I sleep? You know, and when's the last time I exercised? When's the last time I went out with a friend? When's the last time I played basketball? When's the last time I went to a live concert? Like, keeping track of what I'm doing to keep myself in a good headspace. And just also at the end of a day, looking back and being like, God, today sucked. Like, I just felt like a complete a-hole to my kids. I felt like all I did was yell at them, and reflecting on what happened. Yeah, that's been a tremendous learning experience, and it's helped me, I mean, a lot. And I hope that message reaches somebody who needs to hear it, because I think if you reflect and look in your own rear view of your worst parenting days, yeah, kids can play a big part in that sometimes. But I found that usually I'm looking at myself in that mirror. So
yeah, it's such a, parenting is a much bigger mental game than you realize before you're in it. And if you do not take care of your mental health, if you are not aware of how you're doing mentally, it's a domino effect either way. You can either have a negative impact mm-hmm. on your entire family and the way you parent and the interactions with your person, or you can have a positive and healthy impact on them.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been such a good talk. I just feel like thank you for sharing how, you know, like the quote embarrassing parts, how like, you know, this has not always been super easy for you mm-hmm. and you're a regular human being like everyone else. And I'm really happy that you've seen more stay-at-home dads, you know, like even just in your neighborhood, in your community, really hoping that like, hey, maybe one day, like my son will be a stay-at-home dad. Like, and that's fucking awesome. Like, I think that's so cool. You know, I think the more we just share this stuff, again, the more you share it, the more normalized it'll become, and it'll give other people permission to feel the same way that you feel out loud.
Yeah. And I truly believe, I believe there's nobody better to raise a child than the parent and or a family member. And obviously that's not in the cards for many people, but I also want to encourage men and moms to, before you quickly count it out as an option for financial reasons or for fear, do the diligence to really think about it. And we were so quick. And then my knee-jerk reaction was like, hell no, like I need my income. How are we going to do one income? And to our surprise, we were able to make it work. you adjust, you twerk things and change things and find a way. And it has been the best decision we've made for our family. And it's been a life-changing experience for me that I am here now to encourage other people to think about doing, or just let them know they're not alone if it's hard. And not just men, because I think there's a lot of men who could be tremendous caregivers at home with their kids that are afraid to let go, but also vice versa.
Oh yeah.
Watching my wife succeed, even though all she wants to do is be a mom, but she's a badass bitch and she's kicking, you know, ass and taking names in her career. There's women that might not want to be the stay-at-home person that they should fight, and they could be wildly successful chasing their dreams in a career and maybe afraid to speak up about that. So
yeah,
be open, be honest, don't be afraid, you know, don't count it out too quick, because it could change your life and ultimately your children's life as well.
Yeah. And it's okay to be awkward.
And it's okay to say, this isn't for me too. Like, that's another thing I need to dive into. But like, I've talked to a number of men online who have just said, like, I'm doing it. I don't know how you do it. I've done it for a month or two. This isn't, and it's like, good. Like, you're not the worst in the world if you give it a try and you're just like, holy shit, this, I'm not doing anybody any good. So yeah,
absolutely. If it work, like if it works for you, if it works for your family, good. Yeah. If it's not working, then absolutely go do something else. Please do not keep doing something that's not working for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had many days where I was like ready to throw in the towel, you know, like I just was pushed to my limit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was not for me. And that's normal too. You know, there are bad days for sure. And I don't know if you persevere somehow, some way.
Yeah.
But thank you. I am so grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for having me on. I love what you're doing. And
thank
you. I appreciate
you.
The time to have me on and come blab about my dad life.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for sharing. So as you've heard, so Evan started Viral Dads on Instagram, and then he also has his other handle, This American Dad, on Instagram. You're free to follow both. I follow both. And you know, I'm not a dad, I'm not a stay-at-home dad, but it is refreshing to see a different perspective and to not have, you know, the dad constantly being the butt of the joke, and to also just have someone who is doing the same job as me, but who isn't normally, you know, I put that in quotes, the one doing the job, to just like hear a different perspective. So those are his handles on Instagram if you would like to follow along. And I believe you said you're on Twitter as well.
And if you're a dad listening or feeling alone, by all means, shoot me a DM. It's the last thing I want you to feel. You are not, and I'm happy to hear about it, talk about it.
Yes.
Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
I feel like we'd like, go stay-at-home parents. All right, guys. Well, you also know that you can follow me on Instagram at Parentel. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast if you have a second. It just gives us a little boost in the search results so that we can reach more stay-at-home dads, reach more parents, non-parents, anyone who's just curious about what the parenting experience is really like. And I will talk to you guys later. Thank you so much, Evan.
You're welcome. Thank you again.
Bye.